The following program is a production of the Fairfax Network, Fairfax County Public Schools.
Meet the Author with Shannon Messenger is coming up next.
Welcome to Meet the Author. I'm your host, Emily Godfrey. Joining me in the studio today is fantasy fiction author and self-proclaimed cupcake addict, Shannon Messenger. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited to be here.
Also joining us today via Skype are students from Kent Gardens Elementary School. Hello, Kent Gardens.
Hi.
Hi.
Shannon is here to talk about her New York Times best-selling series, Keepers of the Lost Cities, and her Skyfall trilogy. So, cupcakes are your weakness?
They are. I mean, really, any baked good is my weakness, but cupcakes are sort of the cream of the crop of baked goods.
Well, we found some recipes on your website, and so we have here some of Fitz's favorite chocolate mint ripple fluffs. I think I said that right?
Yes, you did. It's quite a mouthful, I know.
It is. I'm super excited. We will sample them later.
Okay.
But until then, so in the meantime, could you tell us a little bit about the Keeper of the Lost Cities series?
I've always called the series Lord of the Rings meets X-Men, because for me, it kind of started with my love of the elves that Tolkien had in his world. But I kind of wanted them to be in a world that felt more modern and that had, you know, things that weren't just magic, that sort of had more of a scientific feel to them. So I call it Shannon Science is sort of what I've what I've done with the series. But, you know, I didn't really want to go head to head with magic systems with Harry Potter, because that's kind of like impossible to do.
Yeah. Well, so can you tell us about Sophie? Like, who's the main character? Tell us about her.
Yeah, Sophie, she's 12 years old at the beginning of the series, and she thinks that she can read minds because she fell and hit her head when she was 5 years old. But then she finds out that it's because she's not human and that she belongs to this secret world within ours, and that she's caught up in this huge sort of conspiracy called Project Moonlark that, you know, just has the fate of the world resting on her shoulders. That's not a lot of pressure.
No,
for
that's super easy, right?
Yeah, I mean, anyone can save,
like,
the world, right?
Super quick.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
No pressure, none at all.
Well, our Kent Gardens students are eagerly awaiting to ask you some questions, so let's take a few.
All right.
Who has the first question for Miss Messenger?
When you were a kid, did you like to write?
I did like to write, although I will admit, when I was younger and people asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, my answer almost always centered around art. And usually it was that I wanted to be a Disney animator. And then I realized that in order to do that, you kind of have to be able to draw the same things over and over again. And even my stick figures don't look the same. So it wasn't really the right career choice. So I stayed an art major and I tried to find something else in art that I could do that I liked. But the way that my hands worked, I can't draw from my imagination. I can only draw if I can see something. And that was what I really wanted to do. I wanted to draw what was in my mind. And so I kind of instead took a writing class on a whim in college and suddenly discovered that what was in my head came out on the page if I used words instead of trying to draw it. So now art is just my hobby and writing is my job. And I wish I had known that earlier, because I love writing so much. I would have focused on it more in school had I known.
That's a very interesting journey.
It was. It was kind of a circuitous route, but it's fun because I learned different things about myself along the way.
So we have another question from Kent Gardens.
Okay.
Student, what is your question?
My question is, what inspired you to write Keeper of the Lost Cities?
Ooh, that is a good question. It came from a lot of places. Two of them were Lord of the Rings and X-Men, but it also just sort of came from my desire to tell a story where a girl got to be the hero and not just the sidekick of the story. I mean, there's some great female characters out there in middle grade fantasy, but so often they are sort of overshadowed by the boy hero. And I really, really wanted to write a world where a girl could be the hero of it and also still be a girl and not have to sort of be this sort of really, you know, tough character and really just be authentically female and still be the hero of the story. So it was kind of all of those things got smashed together and put into Keeper of the Lost Cities.
Well, that is a very good segue into our next question from another Kent Garden student.
And I didn't even prepare for that.
I know. Student, what is your question?
My question is, did you base Sophie's character on yourself or someone you know?
I try not to base my characters on anybody I know because I have to sometimes let bad things happen to them and then I wouldn't have any friends anymore. They would get really mad at me. And as far as Sophie being based on me, I mean, obviously I created her, so there's little bits of me in all of my characters, but Sophie is way braver than I am. It's kind of a running theme in the books that people are always saying, like, Sophie, don't do the thing. The thing's really dangerous. If you do the thing, you might die. And she's like, but I must do the thing. If it were me, I'd be like, you're right. I don't want to die. I'm not going to do the thing. I'll be over there reading a book in the corner.
Well, we do have kind of like a little lookalike
kind
of picture just to see. We can put it up for a moment. Like, you know, like there's... The beautiful hair.
Yeah, and that was completely accidental. Like, I kind of gave her blonde hair because I had based her very, very loosely on Legolas.
Oh, yeah.
And then I gave her brown eyes because I wanted there to be something identifiable about her appearance that would be different, but I didn't want it to read like race.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people would say hurtful things, and the last thing I wanted to do was potentially hurt a reader.
Sure.
So I went with eye color because it felt kind of safe, and I went with... brown eyes because usually when you see drawings of elves, they have blue eyes. And it didn't even occur to me that Sophie had blonde hair and brown eyes like me until we got the cover art. And my agent's first comment was, she kind of looks like you. And I thought, oh no, should I change it? Like everyone's going to think I tried to make her look like me. I was so used to seeing her that way in my head that I couldn't change her. So it really was kind of completely accidental. But I hear that a lot, that Sophie looks like me, which is a great compliment because the artist has made her very, very, very pretty. So.
Yeah.
I did not look like that when I was 12. 12 was like the prime awkward phase. I begged my mom, please never release pictures of 12-year-old Shannon, please.
Please. I think we all feel that way a little bit.
Oh, it was bad. The awkward phase was strong in this one.
Well, we have one more question from our Kent Garden students.
Okay.
So, student, what is your question for Miss Messenger?
How do you come up with your plot twists?
Ooh, how do I come up with my plot twist? That's great. You know, a lot of times it comes from me sort of pushing myself to go the unexpected route. I feel like sometimes the first idea that I get is the most obvious. And so I'll write it down as sort of like a backup plan, but I will try to then dig deeper and brainstorm a little bit more and kind of play the what if game with myself and just go, well, what if I did this instead? Or what if I did that instead? Because that's usually how you get to the stuff that people don't expect, because it's not even where your brain goes first, and you kind of dig deeper. And sometimes the story gives them to me. Just as I'm going along, I'll realize, like, oh, the villains are going to do this. They're so going to do this. And, oh, no, how am I going to get my characters out of that mess? And it just kind of grows organically from it.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks, Kent Gardens.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Those were great questions, and we will come back to you in a bit later on in the show for some more questions, okay? So hang tight, guys.
Thank you.
So, Shannon, we've also received many emails, questions for you from students across the country. So let's take a few of those right now.
Sounds good.
So this question is from Jefferson Middle School, and they write, why do you like torturing your fans so much with cliffhangers?
Ah, yes, the cliffhanger question. You know, I mean, I'll admit, there's a tiny part of me that when it's close to deadline time and I'm up at 4 a.m. and haven't slept in, you know, a month, I'm thinking, ha-ha, the cliffhanger will pay them back this. But that's only a tiny part. It really comes down to when I've read series where they sort of wrap each book up, I end up losing interest in them because it's so hard because then the next book kind of has to break everything again. Mm-hmm. And it feels like the first third of each of those books is just kind of everything falling apart again. And it stresses me out. So, I mean, not that cliffhangers aren't stressful, but for me, I prefer a series where you don't get any real resolution until it's actually
keep building and building.
Yeah, it just builds and builds and builds, and then eventually when I give you the real resolution will be at the end.
And we will all feel good.
Yeah, instead of wrapping it up and then having it all fall apart in the next book. Yeah. And I also feel like the nice thing about the cliffhanger is then chapter one of the next book, I can dive right into the story and we don't have to have that kind of slow start that sometimes happens when you don't have a cliffhanger. But I do realize for my readers it requires a lot of patience when it comes to waiting for the next book. And I'm writing as fast as I can, I promise.
Well, and that's a great clue to our like young writers and stuff, that you don't have to restart each new series and retell the story over and over again. So that's a very good piece of information to share with them.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like I'm writing one long story and it just happens to be broken up into individual books. So,
yeah.
And I try to pick a cliffhanger that isn't like, so the entire book has been about one plot line and then mm-hmm. we don't even get any resolution on that. I try to give you some resolution on that, and then really the cliffhanger is kind of like getting the first chapter of the next book right then and getting a glimpse of where we're going to go next. And
yeah.
then we take a break and I write the next book and you guys all impatiently email me going, where's the next book? Which is amazing. And then we get, you know, to the next cliffhanger until we get to the end. So
yeah.
just, there's going to be a book 8 and a book 9. Brace yourselves.
Like, just wait.
Brace yourselves. There will be another cliffhanger in book 8.
Well, we have a phone call right now that we're
cool.
going to go to. We have a question on the phone. So caller, what is your name and what is your question for Shannon Messenger?
My name is Elon, and my question is, wait, no, what?
What is your question?
My question is, does Sophie get any more powers?
Oh, does Sophie get any more powers? Well, I never give spoilers, because I would get in a lot of trouble for that, so I can't really tell you that, but I will say, it's something that's always in the back of my mind. I'm always trying to juggle the fact that, A, I don't want to run into sort of like the Superman conundrum
mm-hmm.
of her becoming so powerful.
That like nothing.
There's no tension
yeah.
anymore. Of course she's going to win because she's got all these powers. And especially because now we're deep into the series, I also don't want it to be that she gets an ability and it's kind of like, well, if they'd just triggered that one in book one, we wouldn't have needed books 2, 3,
by
four,
the
five.
Way.
Yeah. Like, oh, look, you know, I just don't want it to seem
yeah.
like really convenient that all of a sudden she has this power that takes out all the villains.
Yeah.
So it's a juggling act. But I mean, I had some other things sort of planned, but whether or not I actually go with them is something I'm still deciding, because again, I'm trying to make sure that I don't run into the Superman problem or make it seem like I've sort of ill-plotted the series.
Well, it's really interesting that you're saying these things, because authors have so many choices when they write books about what happens to the characters. And I feel like a lot of times that doesn't always come across to readers, like the types of choices that you have.
Right, and it's hard because I'm a very indecisive person, and I have to make, you know, hundreds of thousands of decisions every book.
And an entire world.
I'm in charge of an entire world and all these lives. And you know, every decision has consequences. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of, sometimes when I'm making a big decision, I really do try to sit down and think through, okay, all the ramifications of if I do this, like, how is that going to ripple through? Because, I mean, sometimes when you really think of a situation, it's like, oh, once I put the characters down this path, like, someone might die. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, once you set the trap and let the villains do their thing, it's like, this could really be a bad thing, and is that where I want to let the story go? And there's certain things where I feel like I have to just step back and let the story unfold, but then there are other times where I'm just like, yeah, I don't want the story to become that, and so I have to kind of back it up. So yeah, it is a lot of decision-making process and really trying to weigh the pros and cons, and especially with a series, because I'm still dealing with decisions that I made in book one.
Yes.
As I'm writing book 8, and sometimes I'm just like, curse you, past Shannon. Like, why? Why did you make this decision? Now I have to live with this.
Well, and when you started out, had you planned the whole story arc for like all of the books in the series, or do you do that book by book, or like, how do you make those choices?
Kind of all of the above. I mean, I had some big, I knew right away that this was a huge problem that Sophie was up against, that she wasn't just up against a single villain. She was up against like fundamental problems in her world. Her world was crumbling. So I knew this was a big story, but then, you know, publishing is a business.
Mm-hmm.
And so initially they only bought 3 books. And so I had to kind of sit down and figure out, if they never let me go beyond this, how can I have this feel like a complete story? And then when we went to them and said, I would love to write more, I have a lot more here, they kind of said, well, we can do one more book, and then we can do one more book, and then we can do two.
Oh.
And so for a while, I kept kind of figuring out how to reshape things. So that's why certain things have been revealed gradually, like new villains have come in. Those were things that I had always planned would be part of it, but I had to sort of gradually ease them in once I knew I would have the story space. And I feel like in some ways that made the series better.
Yeah.
Because instead of me info dumping, you know, 5 villains at once
yeah.
or whatever, it's like we sort of got to watch the problem get bigger and bigger. And I always leave myself room for the fact that your first ideas are rarely your best ideas. So, I mean, there's been certain things that I, themes and stuff that I will hold true to forever. But as for like the very specific back and forth of the problems and the solutions and stuff, I usually come up with much better ideas along the way.
And that's really good for our listeners to hear too, is that our first draft is not our final draft.
Oh, no. I mean, the published version of Keeper, the first book in the series, is actually my 20th draft. I wrote that book over and over and over trying to figure out how to tell it the right way. The other books are not that many drafts. They're all either the third draft or the second draft. But I would never want my first draft published ever because I can always make it better, always.
Well, we have a phone call now. Okay. This caller is from Houston. Caller, what is your question for Ms. Messenger?
My name is Henry and I'm from Houston, Texas.
Hi.
I mean, Pearland, Texas. My question is for how many more books is she gonna make? Are you gonna make?
Oh yes, that is the question on lots of people's minds. Well, for right now, I am under contract for book 8 and book 9, and my publisher has let me know that they are open to letting me go beyond that if I want to. I just want to make sure that we end the series on a high. I don't want to stretch the story and make it thinner than it needs to be. So I kind of just said when we were having that conversation about whether there would be a book 10, it was like I hadn't even written a word of book 7 yet. And so trying to figure 7, 8, 9, 10, that's a lot of books to figure out. So I just said, I know I can do 9 for sure. And then can we just wait until I've written 7 and 8 and see how many questions I've answered, how many mysteries I've solved, all that kind of thing, before I decide whether or not there will be a book 10. So it's kind of a big maybe right now. I promise I will give you as many books as I can, but I also want to make sure that they are as good as they can be and that the last book really feels like we go out with a bang and not like, she stretched that story a little bit thin.
Well, that's a nice promise. Like Yeah,
I mean, I want to give them as many books as the series needs, mm-hmm. I guess is the answer.
So do you have a question for Shannon Messenger? Join the conversation. Jot down the information at the bottom of your screen. We welcome your calls and tweets. Sometimes when you read a book that you just can't put down, you just have to share what you know. Let's take a look.
And our book project is the Keeper of the Lost Cities website. So this is our homepage, and we wanted to introduce the series before we got started on the first book.
When fifth graders explain their thinking about fantasy fiction, a good place to start is Keeper of the Lost Cities, a series by Shannon Messenger. With a dose of ingenuity, a dash of imagination, a bit of technology, students dig deep to understand themes of loyalty and friendship.
We used Lego figures to represent Fritz and Sophie.
This shows that they are always stronger together, and whenever they're apart, they're always like weaker and not as strong.
Using a variety of platforms, some high-tech, some low-tech, students explore how characters develop, how plots run, and ways readers can engage their audience.
We try to tie in our projects with Portrait of a Graduate. They have the collaboration skills. They had to work together in groups. They need to be able to communicate properly to express what they felt was important about the books. And they also had to exhibit creativity and critical thinking.
Breaking news. We made a newspaper website, The Eternal Times, for the Keeper of the Lost Cities books 1 through 4.5.
From inspired but highly made up social media posts to 3D art, students work together to communicate their ideas about a world of fantasy with real life situations.
You're watching Me, the Author, with Shannon Messenger.
Wow, those projects are not what they used to be.
No, I never did anything that amazing in school. I'm feeling really bad about past Shannon in school now. Like, I never did anything that cool.
Well, Shannon, based on your experience as a writer, why do you think fantasy resonates so much with kids?
You know, for me, as a kid, when I was a reader, I always wanted books that would sort of take me somewhere that I couldn't, you know, be. A lot of times, you're a kid, you're kind of limited because you can't drive yet. You can't, you know, so you're kind of within the four walls of your bedroom. And fantasy takes you out of that. It takes you to a place that you can't even begin to imagine, you know. And so I think it's kind of an escape, you know? You just want to go somewhere where people can do things that you wish you could do and where creatures exist that you wish existed and just kind of, you know, I think just when you're young, your imagination is so active that there's just something fun about watching someone else's imagination really coming alive on the page. You want to get lost in it.
Well, we have some more questions from our Kent Gardens students. And so we are going to go ahead and go to them. Kent Gardens, who has our next question?
Who's your favorite character?
Ooh, I love this question. I can never pick between the kid characters because they're like my kids, so I can't do it. But it's actually, this isn't just me like saying, oh, I don't want to pick a favorite kid character. My favorite character is Sylvany, the Alicorn, because, I mean, you think about it, my job is to get paid to spend my time figuring out what it's like to be in the head of a sparkly flying Alicorn. Like, this is actually what I get paid for. It's the best job ever. And Sylvany thinks in all caps and exclamation marks, which is so the way that I would text everyone all the time if my friends wouldn't get mad at me for it. So it's really fun when I get to do that with Sylvany and just, you know, single words and all that exuberance and everything. And yet it's funny because, you know, even with the fact that she does repetitive words and all of that, there's still emotion there. And Sylvany actually is a character. And so that really is fun for me.
Thank you. Students, who has our next question for Ms. Messenger?
Hi, my name's Mackenzie. In your opinion, what is the best ability?
Hi, Mackenzie. You know, I think the best ability is a little bit hard for me to decide, but I know if I was going to have one that I could choose, I would choose to teleport. And that's because, for one thing, if I tried to light leap, I have very scattered concentration. I'm kind of like the dog in that movie Up, like, squirrel. I get distracted very easily, so if I tried to light leap, I would completely fade away. And yet, I hate airports. I hate airplanes. I hate that whole thing, and I have to do it a lot for my job. So if I could just jump off a building and teleport somewhere, that would be amazing. As far as like value to the abilities, I do think the one that I gave Sophie, I gave that to her because I think being able to get into someone's head and see past the lies and get to the truth of it is a very, very valuable ability. But I mean, all the abilities that they have are super cool. I would be happy with any of them if the universe decided to give me one of them.
All right, we're ready for our next question from Kent Gardens.
In the first book, Sophie and Dex were in France and they went to that one lamppost. Why'd you set the scene in France?
Ooh, I love this question. And my French publisher will love this question too. You know, Paris is one of my favorite cities. And I do best when I'm writing a place that I've been to so that I can really sort of capture the feel of it. But it was also because Paris is often called the City of Light. And light plays a huge role in the elven world. And so it just sort of made sense to me that the human City of Light would be a place where the elves would might maybe have a bit of a stronger presence than other cities. And so it just kind of made sense. And that lantern and that bridge is my favorite spot in Paris. And it's the place that I always go. And all of a sudden, when I was trying to figure out where to set that scene, I just all of a sudden realized a bridge with nothing but these amazing lanterns is the perfect place. And so I have gone as a nerdy author and taken pictures of me holding my book with the lantern in front of the lantern because you gotta do it. And I love that that place got to be incorporated into the books.
Well, and we have one more question from our students via Skype. So what is your question?
Is there going to be an eighth book in the Keeper of the Lost Cities series?
Yes, there definitely is going to be an eighth book. I have yet to write a word of it, but I will be. Like, starting next month, once I'm done with book tour, I will be writing book eight. So I don't know the title of it yet. I don't know anything about it because I haven't started writing it yet, but it's going to happen.
Well, thank you so much, Kent Gardens.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you. We have another phone call. This one is from Houston. So, caller, what is your name and what is your question? Hello, caller, what's your question?
We're from Perrin, Texas. It's Kel Corley.
I heard that you're from Texas, but I don't know that I heard the question.
Can you try one more time, caller?
I'm in Texas, and I'm Kel Corley. Who was your role model growing up?
Wonderful question.
Oh,
thank
that
you.
That is a good question. You know, I really looked up to my mom growing up. I know there are lots of celebrities and things like that, but my mom was such a great mom. And what was so great about both my mom and my dad, honestly, was that they always supported every, you know, dream that I tried to chase. When I wanted to be an art major, they let me talk my way into independent study so that I could graduate high school a year early so that I could get into art school at 16. And they let me, when I decided I didn't want to be an art major and I decided that I wanted to be a film major, which, you know, is chasing Hollywood, that's not a scary dream to have your child want to pursue at all. And they, I mean, they never did that whole like, hey, maybe you want to have a job that would pay money. And like they believed in Keeper. Like from the moment I told them the idea, they were just like, you need to write that book. And so they were, my mom has always been my role model.
So we have another email question for you. This email question is from Providence Elementary School.
Okay.
Oh, this one, I'm sorry, this one is from Lindenwold Middle School. And it says, did you go through a similar experience that Sophie did? Did you write this book to teach your readers anything?
Well, sadly, I've never found out that I belong to a secret world or that I have superpowers. But, you know, there are bits and pieces of my life. And I think the theme of that Sophie's struggle is sort of, she starts out really just hoping that she's going to find a perfect place to belong because she's never fit in with humans. And then she gets to the Lost Cities and she feels like, okay, I finally found the place where I belong. And then she realizes that she's very different there too. And so for me, I think that's kind of an important journey that I've had to take in my life is that instead of finding a place where you fit exactly with everybody, instead learning to be comfortable with who you are. And that's kind of what Sophie has to do is she has to say, all right, I'm different from humans, I'm different from elves, I'm different from everybody, but that's okay, and I'm okay with being me. And I think that has been something that I have wrestled with my whole life as well, and, you know, sort of draw upon in Sophie's journey.
It's a universal theme,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, honestly, very few people actually 100% fit in with anyone. It's more about sort of figuring out who you are and being true to yourself.
Well, Shannon, before we go, briefly, could you tell us what advice do you have for aspiring writers?
Ooh, I love this question. You know, it sounds so obvious, but the advice I always give young writers is to focus on writing for as long as you can, because so often the question that I get isn't how do I write a book, but it's how do I get published? How do I become a published author? And people don't realize that writing and publishing are two separate things. And that honestly, of the two of them, the publishing is the less fun side. That's the side where you start getting rejection sometimes, where you know, that's where all the pressure is. Writing is the fun part. And so often I'll get a kid that's like, comes up to me all excited, like, how do I get my book published? I'm like, have you written it yet? And they're like, no. And so, you know, focus on being a writer, writing the absolute best book that you possibly can, finishing it. That puts you light years ahead of most other writers out there, because finishing a book is not an easy thing to do. It's why most authors, even now, like we still all on our Instagrams, we post that picture of our laptop screen where we've typed the end.
Yeah.
They're like, we did it, we made it to the end. So make it your goal to finish a book, revise it, make it the best that it can possibly be. And then when you have that, then you can start worrying about how to get it published, how to be an author, all of that stuff. And then when that time comes, Google is your friend. I learned everything that I needed to know about how to get published by Google. And in the meantime, just focus on writing, because the writing is the fun part.
Well, we'd like to thank our Kent Garden students for joining us via Skype today. Thank you, guys.
You.
Great questions.
Thank you, guys.
And Shannon, we have one parting email.
Okay.
This one is from your fans in Arlington, Virginia, and it says, you are so amazing!
Oh. Yay! I never get tired of hearing that shamelessly.
Well, we completely agree. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been wonderful chatting with you.
This has been so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. If you would like to learn more about Shannon Messenger, visit her website. To learn more about our upcoming programs, visit the Fairfax Network. For the Fairfax Network, I'm Emily Godfrey. Keep reading, keep writing, and keep dreaming. Thanks for watching.